Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello.
Now, as much as one Call of Duty was not enough, it seems to be, that there's another one already on the horizon.
Well, of course, these games work on 3-year dev cycles until very recently, and one comes out every year, so even though Modern Warfare is yet to release, we're still a couple months away from its October launch date, we are looking ahead because the next game, the 2020 Call of Duty, has been leaked.
Okay.
Even though it was kind of revealed earlier on this year with a great report by Jason Schreier over at Kotaku, who said there's been a major internal shakeup, and then this leak from, let me get this right, I think it is Long Sensation over on Twitter, who has said that next
Long
year's...
Sensation.
Long Sensation. They have leaked Call of Duty stuff in the past. They actually correctly nailed the Modern Warfare title earlier on this year before it was officially unveiled.
Ah, cool.
But they're saying that next year's Call of Duty will indeed be Treyarch developed. Mm-hmm. It will be Black Ops, but that it's going to be a reboot of sorts, following in the footsteps of this year's Modern Warfare. Apparently, it is going back to the Cold War, which, although we associate with Black Ops, was only really the setting for the first game. The second game had this weird hybrid of being in the past and being in the future.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we've just launched straight into futuristic stuff. So the idea that it's going to the past is a good kind of return to form for me, who really loves
that
first
game. But yeah, there's something about the first Black Ops. For me, Black Ops is my favorite Call of Duty. I absolutely love the story-heavy stuff.
Yeah.
I love the whole... what the numbers mean, Mason. Like, all that, I think that, for me, I mean, as one of the four people that love Lost, all that sort of, that way of bringing across, like, what do the numbers mean, I'm getting lost and all that stuff, and all the different fan theories and everything, and obviously by the end of it, you know, you get the full sort of reveal. But I love that they, for me, that's the most narrative-driven Call of Duty.
Yes.
I know that obviously Black Ops 2, like, they sort of had different branching paths and everything, but I wonder when they go back to the drawing board, if they do think that a core pillar of what makes Black Ops, is that story stuff, because even in Black Ops 3, when they were going mind-melding and everything, still was very story-driven.
Yes. Well, this is it. Like, this is like the weird, strange thing with the Black Ops franchise because it started off as this kind of espionage, well, Black Ops focused game about like these strange kind of almost supernatural-esque kind of elements. You had like, you know, personality disorders, you had people who weren't real, you had the numbers and stuff. It was very kind of rooted in that weird kind of sci-fi vein of modern military shooters, but ever since then they've sort of moved away from that, at least from a narrative perspective. I like the campaign for Black Ops 2, but then 3's was all over the place, and obviously 4 didn't have one. But the issue for this is that if the reports about the development have been accurate, Jason Schreier said that initially 2020's Call of Duty was going to be a co-production between Sledgehammer Games and Raven, which would have been the accurate schedule because Treyarch weren't scheduled to make another Call of Duty until 2021.
Yeah, things got swapped around.
Things got swapped around because Activision didn't like where that was going and they cancelled it, and then they brought Treyarch on essentially to salvage the project.
Okay.
But from those other reports, apparently Sledgehammer Games, they were making a Cold War themed title.
Right.
So my worry for this is that it's kind of not going to be a true Black Ops game because Treyarch have been brought on, they've been put into crisis mode, they've been told, you need to get a game out in 2020, and they've just, sat by the sounds of it, tried to salvage what was already there and then kind of put its new spin on it by either calling it Black Ops 5 or just a straight reboot as Black Ops.
I've long thought, this is going to be a big deviation for a second, but I've long thought that Call of Duty sort of dovetailed into the more, like, over-the-top, the supernatural, the more superpowered stuff, mainly because they thought that Titanfall was going to be a massive contender.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first Titanfall sort of, you know, kind of stumbled a bit. I adore Titanfall 2. I genuinely think it's the best shooter of a generation. Fight me. And, like, well, Siege probably is, but whatever. I think they went down that sort of more superpowered route because they thought that they were going to be going up against Titanfall, and you let it led to things like Black Ops 3 and Advanced Warfare with its mid-air boost things and whatever, and then Black Ops 4 going full-on Overwatch-style hero shooters. That seems now, because we're going back to boots on the ground, really militaristic, you know, hardcore stuff like Modern Warfare, and if this Black Ops stuff is true, that all of this sort of like hero-based, super-powered stuff is just one big old deviation, one big experiment, and then Activision is kind of course-correcting back to what Call of Duty
was. We've talked about this before, and at the start of this generation, at least, I think that Call of Duty stopped being a trendsetter and started following what other people were doing. They started doing the Titanfall double jumping. They started going down the hero shooter kind of path because that was popular.
There's so much Siege in Modern Warfare as well.
I mean, even this Modern Warfare, although it's going back to basics, it's taken, like you said, inspiration from Siege. Mm-hmm. It's taken inspiration from Battlefield. So even though it's going back to COD's roots, it's doing it in a way that is still kind of cribbing on other games. I still think that's a good way to go with the franchise because it still does feel very distinctive to, you know, what Activision have built and what fans love about these sub-franchises, even though it is kind of still cribbing on other games. Mm-hmm. But what I worry about with Black Ops is that, like, has it already lost what kind of made Black Ops special in the first place? Yeah. If you're just trying to salvage it and you're trying to not, like, go down another reboot way, like, at what point do we get sick of just seeing these same old franchises get rebooted? Because I think the Treyarch games are really good. I think mechanically they're really sound. They have a lot of great ideas. I think even if this was Black Ops 5, that would have felt stale. And the fact that they're just kind of going back to the drawing board, I think although that Treyarch are probably the best developer that Activision have on these games, they just seem to be treated a bit like crap.
It's sort of just like, well, we need a home win, or we need like something that's really obvious. So like, you know, here's your sort of cliff notes and go figure it out. But it is weird because if you're them, and like I said, you've had this massive deviation, which has gone on for years at this point, culminating in something like Black Ops 4 with full on massive, you know, jumping through midair with you. I forget the name of the character that puts the big thing down, everything blows up. It was full on hero power stuff. I actually really, really, really like Black Ops 4, but it's mainly because I also love Overwatch. So I think that if you grew up on Call of Duty, you're probably kind of hankering for something that is more old school.
Yeah.
But in the same vein, if you're them, what is your drawing board? What do you go back to?
Yes.
And I guess it is just doubling down on military realism and, you know, the headlines ripped from the in-game stories ripped from the headlines.
But then for me, we get back to the problem that plagued the franchise in the late era of the 360 era, when we had three different sub-franchises all doing the same thing, all trying to be the sci-fi futuristic shooter.
True.
And now if we're getting one gritty reboot coming this year, and then we're getting another reboot next year, which apparently, by the way, Long Sensation also says is going to be even darker than this year's Modern Warfare. It's kind of, you had such variation, and now you're just kind of going back to whatever drawing board you had, but that just breeds homogeneity. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is interesting though, because for me, like I said, I like that sort of futuristic, the way that they went. I'm a sucker for sci-fi, so I think anything that they, you know, go down that route. Black Ops 2, I remember initially being quite hesitant with, because I was just like, this doesn't look or feel like Call of Duty. But then once you got hands on with it, you sort of realize that they can inject enough of that signature sort of feel and tone and the way that the story kind of went in the script and everything into a future setting. But if you're stripping all that stuff away, it's like, what even is Call of Duty at this point, other than just being like, you know, the most actual pop song version of military video games?
And this is why I think that Activision just need to take a break. I feel like even though they are not kind of, some of the games have faltered, but they're still making a ridiculous amount of money, I just think it's sort of reached a crisis point from what we know from Jason Schreier's reports about the insane crunch that went into Black Ops 3 and 4 and now inevitably 5, because they've got 1 year less to create a title.
Yeah.
It just sounds like internally the studios are burning out and are unhappy Activision are kind of just throwing everything at the franchise and not allowing it to have that creative break.
I mean, it's kind of a unique thing. Other than sports games, there's nothing that's gone on for this long where you've got, you're turning stories around year on year. Obviously, Black Ops 4 didn't have one. People didn't like it. We're getting a campaign in Modern Warfare again, and they seem to have had enough time to put together a campaign based on a 3-year turnaround. But I wonder, with so many different sort of chess pieces being moved so quickly and so violently in some cases, like resulting in so many different studios being burned out and crunched and everything, is even this like reapproach to boots on the ground, super serious Modern Warfare stuff, if that doesn't land, because World War II didn't really land that well, mainly because of the way sort of the loot boxes were handled and the sort of like the launch conversations and everything. But I thought if World War II had landed better, I thought we would have had a whole return to old school Call of Duty, and we didn't, which is why they're now trying this. Maybe Modern Warfare will work.
That's the funny thing, because although World War II had a lot of goodwill, like you said, it launched to really good scores. The fans were initially happy, but then in that post-launch period, a lot of people just dropped off, and then obviously Sledgehammer's next project was cancelled. Yep. It's just kind of, internally there seems to be a lot of turmoil, but as long as the franchise keeps making money, Activision are not going to put it on hold, because they only have a couple of franchises, core franchises, that they rely on every single year for this, like, to make $800 million for microtransactions, and Destiny's gone. So they need Call of Duty, but I'm not sure if they have the infrastructure anymore to make great Call of Duty games.
I wonder how many these like really core decisions come down to the fact that their main creative leads aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like I always get these names wrong, but I think it's Vince Zampella and Jason West, or Jason Zampella. Yeah, it's...
No, you got that right, I think.
Yes, the first time. Yeah. Who went over to Respawn, who were working on Jedi Fallen Order, who did Titanfall. Those are the two sort of main creative leads that were working with Infinity Ward when Modern Warfare became the world-enslaving, you know, massive media project kind of thing that it was. And at some point, you just don't have those people to go back to, and I don't even know how much of a future vision they had, how many notes they left behind, or whatever, for potential future sequels. But it reminds me of what happened with Assassin's Creed, where we saw Patrice Desilets left the series after Brotherhood, maybe Revelations, and you could tell immediately that sort of creative vision wasn't there anymore. And obviously with Assassin's Creed, they've managed to turn it back around. Origins and Odyssey have been received pretty well, especially Odyssey. And it's just weird with Call of Duty, because, like I said, if I take a step back from the whole series, I see them trying this whole Titanfall chasing side thing without their creatives who have left, trying to keep up with them. Kind of, okay, well, if our leads are going to be doing this, then we best be doing this. Yeah. And that's just sort of meted out in a way that I assume they didn't predict, because Titanfall didn't become the massive shooter that they could have thought it was.
It should have been.
It absolutely should be, and totally go play Titanfall 2 if you haven't. And now we're at this point where Call of Duty has tried a few different things, and now it's trying to get back to its signature identity without the people that helped build that signature identity in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made two very salient points there. Right there about like the people not being there, even though the new Modern Warfare has caught at a lot of talent that did work on the original games.
Oh, I still think it looks really promising.
Yeah, it still looks promising. I think they're trying to find something, they're finding their own distinct identity with that game, but it took Infinity Ward arguably three titles to get there, and if the other studios have to follow suit, then we're going to get bad Call of Duty games, and then we're going to lead to this burnout even more. But I think the biggest factor is Assassin's Creed. Even though they had a similar setup to Call of Duty when they had different developers working on the different sub-franchises, giving them a few years to turn around titles, that still burnt them out. That still led to releases like Assassin's Creed Unity, which soured everyone on the games. And it was only when they took a break, kind of stepped back, looked and reevaluated everything, changed a few things, came back with that creative passion in that signature vision return that they actually, you know, got Assassin's Creed back up to those ridiculous heights that it was back in 2010 or so.
That's what I want them to do. I would like Activision to take a step back. Like you said, it's going to be Activision's problem, because if they take Call of Duty away, they don't have any massive money bringing in IPs because they've lost Destiny. They're their most lucrative franchises. And if they go, like, for their investors, their shareholders, by the way, we're not doing a Call of Duty this year, that's a massive problem for their balance sheets and all that kind of thing. So I think it's more on Activision's side. Like you said, you can kind of tell that they're cranking the handles and making stuff come together, even if it feels kind of unnatural, which is all to say that I still think this sounds kind of promising. I like the idea of Call of Duty getting back to its roots and becoming the signature franchise that it always was. Like you said, it's been chasing other franchises for years at this point. I just kind of wonder how you do that and how much you make a mark when you're fundamentally rebooting something that we already associate with a couple of other people.
I agree. I mean, like, Treyarch, even in their like most difficult times, have not created a game that I have disliked. I think they've all been solid. They've always overcome the challenges. I just fear for how many times they can do that before they deliver a dud. Because, I mean, it has to happen inevitably. The amount of stuff that's happening or has allegedly happened in that studio is just kind of crazy, considering the high quality products they still managed to pump out at the very end of that cycle.
At some point, Sheely creative people will always result in something worthwhile, providing they're given just enough time to do it, which is obviously the fact that the way that their crunch culture sort of works. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. Maybe you're looking forward to a Black Ops reboot, and what do you think of Modern Warfare as well? For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. I moved my chair so much.
You were like shaking wood, brother.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.